Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty for Ashes with your host, Prophet Kyle T. Miller.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair. He gives beauty.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning and a garment of praise for spirit of heaviness. Isn't it so good to know that no matter what we go through, no matter what trials, no matter what tribulations, God is always there with us, that he loves us, and he's got an awesome, awesome plan for our life. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me. I know that this is a different time than we usually come on. We usually come on a little bit later, but I had some things I had going on this evening, but I definitely want to continue on with the teaching, and so we scheduled for a little bit earlier. So we'll try this time and see how it goes, and maybe we might consider going a little bit earlier. If not, we'll continue on with our traditional time of 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Well, I've been teaching a series called High Hopes, High Hopes. We've got to have high hopes. Y'all remember the song? He's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky. Anyway, I'm messing up that song really bad. But anyway, I just want to encourage you all. And so I've been doing this teaching, and it's just amazing to me how many scriptures are in the Bible concerning hope, you know. And I can't think of the last time that I had a teaching or listen to a teaching that dealt with hope. And so I began to start studying that word hope, and just wanted to share with you how significant it is the Bible, because a lot of times we don't access the things of God. And what I'm realizing is that one of the missing elements that we have in our faith is hope. You know, we have the faith, meaning that we have the belief, you know, oh yeah, I believe God will do it. But that hope, a hope is an actual earnest expectation that we think that God is really going to do what he said he was going to do. And so I was looking at the New Testament definition for hope, and it comes from a Greek word, which is ellipse, which comes from a derivative word, which is called elipo, and it means to anticipate or to welcome, to anticipate, to welcome. And so when we use that word hope, basically what we're saying is that we're actually anticipating and welcoming the plans and purposes that God has for us. So let's say, for instance, you're standing on a scripture and you're believing God for healing. So I pray and I ask the Lord, please heal me. So how I integrate hope is that not only am I praying and asking God to heal me, but I'm also anticipating, which is another word for that, or a synonym for that would be expecting. I'm actually expecting that God will actually bless me what it is that I'm asking for. I'm actually expecting, and another word for that is welcome, or we welcome. We welcome it. And so how do we welcome our prayers? How do we welcome God in our prayers? Well, how we welcome the Lord is in our praise. You know, Scripture says, you know, we enter his court with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. We enter his his courts with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. And so basically what that scripture is saying is that the way in which we enter in into receiving the things of God is through our praise and our worship. So after I've prayed to the Lord and I've asked him to bless me with whatever it is that I'm believing God for, then I begin to start worshiping and praising him and thanking him for what it is that he's done. Amen. So let's say, for example, I pray and I say, dear Lord, I need you to heal my body. I'm asking, Lord, that you would touch my body right now, heal me of, I give an example, high blood pressure. Lord, I ask that you healed me of high blood pressure. Okay, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So now I've made my prayer. Then what I do is I begin to start worshiping him and thanking him. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I worship you, Lord. Lord, you are a good God. Father, you said in your word that you are my divine healer, and so I worship you, Lord, for you are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. Lord, you said in your word that you were wounded for our transgressions and you were bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon you, and by your stripes I'm healed. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm divinely healed, Lord, that your stripes heal me, Lord, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. You see what I'm saying? So I began to start worshiping the Lord and praising him for healing me. Amen. So that would be an example of welcome. So we talked about hope. That word hope means to anticipate. So that means we actually expect it. We have an earnest expectation that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. And then we welcome. Then we begin to start praising God and thanking him for what it is that God has promised us. Amen. And so one scripture I love is in Romans 4:18. Romans 4:18. And we're talking about high hopes, you know. Get your hopes up, you know. Be excited. Be looking forward to God doing something awesome in your life. You know, not just praying and believing, but also hoping, having an expectation that what it is that you're believing God for, God is going to actually do it. Amen? And so one of my favorite scriptures is in Romans 4:18, and it says, and this was talking about Abraham, and Abraham, God had given him the promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. And so now, you know, it basically took Abraham about 25 years to see that prophetic word come to pass. God prophesied that to Abraham when he was around 75. And according to the scripture, Abraham did not have his first child, Isaac, until he was 100. And but the scripture says here in Romans 4:18, and I love the scripture, it says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. I'm going to read that again, Romans 4:18. So even when there was no hope, no reason for hope, let me repeat that. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you would have. Amen. So this scripture talks about how Abraham hoped against hope, you know, meaning that Abraham continued to expect that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, even when there was nothing naturally that showed that God was actually going to do anything. Is that Abraham just continued to stand on God's word, because the scripture says that he continued to believe that he would become the father of many nations, for God has said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. So Abraham, looking and seeing that God had told him that he was going to have descendants, that he was going to be a father of many nations, that was the hope that he had, because he believed the word that God had given him. And so, guys, this is really, really important. When we look at scripture, when we look at the prophetic word, when God prophetically speaks a word to us, God wants us to continue to hang on to that prophecy even when it looks like nothing is going on, that we continue to hope against hope. You know, some of you, God has spoken to you, and he's given you a prophetic word, and he said, you know, I'm going to do this in your life, I'm going to do that in your life. And God is telling you to continue to hope, to continue to hope against hope. And God promised you that he's going to do what it is that he said he was going to do. Amen. There's people you're listening tonight, and you've become somewhat disillusioned with prophecy, because you say, oh, well, you know, these prophets, they just prophesy this stuff, but it don't come to pass. But no. The scripture says that you have to expect, and in this situation with Abraham, it was 25 years before he saw the manifestation of what it is that God had promised him. But sure enough, God brought to pass what it is that he said he was going to do, and Abraham continued to hope against hope. Amen. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So That scripture basically means that, you know, when we stand in expectation, believing God for what it is that he said he's going to do, God will make sure that we will not be ashamed. You know, the scripture says it this way. It says that God will give us double for our shame. Amen. That God will make sure that we will not be let down, that we will not disappoint. And so I just want to encourage some of you, because you listen and you've been thinking, oh, well, God's been saying, I've been hearing this for years, that God is going to do this in my life, and I've been hearing for years that God's going to prosper me, and I've been hearing for years that God is going to heal me, and I'm still not healed, I'm still not prosperous. But you know, the scripture admonishes us to just continue to stand in faith, to continue to believe God and his word, and that if we believe God and his word, God will do what he said he would do. Hebrews 11:1, this is one of my favorite scriptures, and we, most of us who know the scripture, are well familiar with the scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So when we're executing true faith, we're actually believing God for something that we're expecting that we have not seen yet. So faith is us actually earnestly expecting something that we have not experienced yet. So let's say, for example, if you're believing God for a healing, then we are expecting God to heal us, even though in my body I may still have pain, but we're still expecting God to heal us. So that would be an example of us continually believing God, even though in the natural we don't see what it is that we're believing God for. Romans 8:24-25, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? You know, so that basically, that scripture is saying that, you know, there's no necessity in having an expectation of something when you've already received it. Amen? You know, I don't have to continue to expect that God is going to bless me, you know, with a financial blessing if he's already given me what it is I've asked him for. So that's basically what they're saying, is that hope is actually an expectation of things that we have not seen yet. Hope is is us actually expecting it, you know. And I gave this analogy last week. I was talking about, you know, me and my older brother at Christmas time, and how, you know, when Christmas was coming, that Christmas Eve, you know, we would go to bed early because we were expecting, you know, that Santa Claus was going to bring us something. You know, and so we would go to bed early in the evening, because we had this big expectation that we were going to receive all of these things that we had put on our Christmas list. And you know, it's funny. I remember my dad. He would give us a Sears and Roebuck catalog. You know, and it used to be, they used to have this special catalog that used to come out, and it was for Christmas. And in the catalog, you could go through, and they had all the pictures of all the different things, and you could go through the catalog, and we would pick out the different toys and stuff, you know, that we wanted. And you know what? We never doubted that we were not going to get what it is that we wanted for Christmas. we would put it on our list, and we were actually expecting that God was going to give it to us. Well, at that time we thought it was Santa Claus, but it was actually our dad, you know. But we were actually expecting that we were actually going to receive what it is that we asked for. You know, we had that earnest expectation, you know, and that was a degree of faith. And you know what? I was talking about this last week when I was talking about my father taking me and my brother to see to go to the Purple Rain concert. But you know, I'm so grateful that I had a godly father, because I can see now how God really taught me a lot of you know, principles about how to believe him. Because you know, when my brother and I, when we put together our Christmas list, and you know, we turned it in, we had an expectation, and we just knew that when we turned in that expectation of what it is that we wanted for Christmas, that we were actually going to receive it, you know. And it's the same way with the Father. You know, I can see now that the Lord was teaching me how to believe him then through the relationship that I had with my Father, because you know, when I came into the things of God, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, and you know, and sometimes I have to contend, and sometimes I, you know, I wonder and get in fear just like anybody else concerning believing God for things. But one of the things about having a godly father who, you know, who always kept his word, or to the most part always kept his word, is that it helped. It was a lot easier for me when I got saved when I was 25 to believe God, because I had always had a father who, when he said he was going to do something, he did it. So, you know, sometimes I know, especially when I counsel people, because I do prophetic counseling, and one of the things that I generally will ask people when I'm prophetically counseling them is, you know, what their relationship was like with their parents. And the reason why I ask that is because what I've noticed is that sometimes if the people I'm counseling did not have a good relationship with their mother or their father, then they really struggle to believe God for things. They really struggle to, you know, to believe God. It's you know, and so those of you who are listening who are parents, you know, you play such an extremely important part in your child's life. And one of the areas in where you really play you know, an extremely important part is being a, you know, a man or woman of your word, because you being a man or woman of your word is really, you're setting the platform or setting the foundation for how your children are going to learn how to believe God, because they'll be able to easily make the transition of making a relationship. Okay, well, when daddy or mama says they're going to do something, they do it, you know. And it's the same way it was, you know, with my parents. And so then when I came into the things of the Lord, then, you know, I was able to trust and believe God, because I had had parents that, you know, when they said they were going to do something, they did it, you know. And so There may be those of you who are listening, and you say, well, hey, you know, I didn't have good parents. You know, my parents made me a lot of promises, and they didn't keep them. You know, so I want to admonish you to recognize and realize that your heavenly Father is not like that. You know, the Scripture says that heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall remain forever. You know, and the Scripture says that this is the confidence that we have in Him, and that if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of. And then in Mark 11, 22-23, it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, if you believe you receive them, you shall have them. So when God makes promises, He doesn't change His mind. You know, when God says He's going to do something in your life, He's going to do it. And there are several of you who are listening now, and you've received a prophetic word from the Lord, and you've been like, well, Lord, when is this word going to come to pass? And, you know, and one of the things I'll share to you is that if God has promised you that He's going to do something, that He's going to do it. Amen. So you can have high hopes. You know, get your hopes up. I know when we were little kids, you know, they used to tell us, oh, you know, don't get your hopes up. You know, or I heard people say, oh, well, you know, I've just adopted the mentality that I don't expect anything. That way, if it happens, then I'm surprised, you know. But no. Our expectation is a tool by which we access the things of God, you know. And that's why, you know, a lot of teachings tell you, you know, that, you know, how significant the imagination is, because one of the things that the imagination does, it allows you to see something, and as you see it in your spirit, man, then that excitement comes, because you begin to start expecting it before it's happened. So the Scripture goes on in Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what we do is we utilize our faith to pray to God and to expect for things to happen that we have not seen manifest yet. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I like this scripture. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what that scripture is basically saying, that God is a God of hope. God is a God of expectation. And the scripture says that hope, that when we are expecting in hope, That means that we're also going to be filled with joy and peace. And that joy and peace comes through believing. Amen. So when we believe God, then we expect from him. And then when we expect from him, then we begin to manifest joy and peace. And the joy comes because we know that we're expecting something that we anticipate on receiving from the Lord. And then there's a peace that comes because we know that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Amen. 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 Colossians 1 and 27. To whom God, excuse me, I went past my scripture on my notes. Okay. Colossians 1 and 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I love this scripture. I'm going to read this one more time. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, you know, I was doing a study and came across some very, very powerful teaching. And, you know, several times in the New Testament, it refers to the mystery of Christ. And what the mystery of Christ is this. Did you know until Apostle Paul received the revelation concerning the mystery of Christ, it was a mystery. And the mystery was this, that Christ would dwell in us, the hope of glory. You know, when Christ walked this earth, even with the disciples, it was a mystery that was unknown. You know, the disciples did not know that after the resurrection, you know, at the point of salvation, that Christ would now dwell on the inside of them. You know, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That was a mystery. That was a mystery. But now it's a mystery that's been revealed, that when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that Christ now dwells in us. So, you know, Christ is in you. I want you to repeat that after me. Just say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Repeat that two more times. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. So, you know, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ is now in you. Christ is now in you. He's not just around you. He's not just up in heaven. But Christ is now in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So what do we have to be sad about? Christ is now dwelling on the inside. And the scripture says it's the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now dwelling on the inside of us. So that same power, is from a Greek word, which is dunamis. You know, that same dunamis power, that same resurrection power is dwelling on the inside of us. The glory light of Jesus Christ is now dwelling on the inside of us. Amen. That's a mystery of a blessing that the Old Testament saints didn't have. They didn't have, but we have it in Christ Jesus in this dispensation that Christ Jesus is now dwelling on the inside of us. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, or saith he it altogether for our sakes no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth shall plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope shall be partaker of his hope. I love that scripture. And you probably wonder, what in the world do they mean by that? He plows in hope and he threshes in hope. What does that mean? Okay, well, we know what plowing is. You know, it says that he that ploweth shall plow in hope. Well, why would you plow in hope? Well, just think about it. If you were a farmer and you plowed, you know, plowing is when you go and you pull up all of the roots and you pull up all the thorns and the thistles and all of the weeds and all of the different things that choke the seed. So that's tough work. That's tough work. But this scripture is saying that it is written that he that plows should plow in hope. So why would it be important that I have hope when I'm plowing? Well, plowing prepares for the seed to be sown. Plowing prepares us for the seed to be sown. So if we're going to plow, you know, and we're doing all this hard work for the purpose of sowing seed, then there's an expectation that when we sow that seed, we're going to experience a crop. Amen? Amen? Some of you, maybe you've been plowing. You've been sowing a lot of seed, and you've been confessing, and you've been plowing and plowing and plowing. But the Lord says, continue to hope. Continue to hope. Continue to hope. And then it says, and that he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. So I did a little study to see what threshing is. And basically what threshing is this. Okay, so you the farmer, he goes and he plows the land so that he can sow the seed. He sows the seed, and now wheat begins to grow. Okay, but the interesting thing about wheat is this. You know, Scripture talks about how we separate the wheat from the chaff. Well, there, when you took the stalk of the wheat or the head of the wheat, then there was a what we called a threshing floor, and the threshing floor was a hard platform. And then on that hard platform, what you would do is take a mallet or like a hammer, and you would hammer the wheat. And out of that wheat, well, you would hammer the stalk, I guess you could say, and then from the head of it, that when you hit it, there would be a separation of what was the chaff, which was the part that you couldn't use. It was like the hard husk part, and it was separated from the wheat, which the wheat was the part that you could actually use and grind and make flour and make bread or whatever. So, again, a tedious process in order to extract something that's edible. And so it says, and he that threshes in hope should be a partaker of the hope. So what he's saying, what the scripture's saying is, you know, if you're going to take the time to plow, you should be plowing in hope with the expectation that you're going to receive a harvest. And then when that harvest begins to grow and you begin to separate the wheat from the chaff, and you're doing the tedious task of separating the wheat from the part that's non-edible, you know, that you should also be hoping that you're going to be a partaker of something. And so basically what that scripture is saying is that, you know, when we sow, we should be sowing with an expectation that we're going to receive something. Now, you'll hear people and they'll say, oh, we shouldn't give to get, or, you know, we shouldn't give expecting to receive anything. But no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says right here that when we plow, we should plow in hope, and when we thresh it in hope, we should be a partaker of that hope. And if you study that scripture, and I'm not going to do the teaching now, but then it goes on to say, you know, should we muzzle the ox that treads the corn? And then it says so much so with ministers of the gospel, you know, that if we receive something spiritual from them, shouldn't we not also sow something to them naturally? And basically this whole scripture is really talking about sowing and reaping, and it's basically saying that when we sow something, shouldn't we not also expect to receive from it? You know, and so when, those of you who sow into this ministry, you know, you sow for your personal prophecy, you know, you sow a seed, you know, and I send you a personal prophecy. Well, let me first say this, and I know I've explained this before, but I think it bears repeating. Okay, I really want you to understand that when you sow into this ministry, say like the suggested $27 seed, you're not paying for a prophecy. It's no way you could pay for a prophecy. How much would you charge? I don't know how much you would charge for a prophecy. I know that most of the prophecies that I've received, you know, that were anointed and from God, they definitely were worth a whole lot more than $27. You know, that's just an arbitrary number that the Lord told me to choose, because it was a seed that was enough to help me pay, you know, for my radio time and for my blog talk radio and for my website and all of those things. But that's just, but it's definitely not paying for a prophecy. But when you sow that seed into the ministry, then in turn, I send you a prophecy, because that's my thank you to you sowing into the ministry. I'm like, if you know, send me something, you know, financially, then I'm going to send you something back spiritually, you know, as a blessing to you. So when you're sowing a seed to the ministry, you're not really paying for a prophecy. You're sowing to the ministry, and in turn, I'm sending you a thank you through a prophetic word. That's what the Lord told me to do. That's how I run my ministry. Now, some people have a problem with that. They say you're paying for a prophecy. That's asinine. That's ludicrous. Anyway, that's how I run my ministry. So, but when you sow that seed into the ministry, you know, you should be sowing it with an expectation that you're going to receive a harvest. So part of that is you receive a personal prophecy, but also too, it should be an opportunity for you to expect to receive the blessings of God, because the scripture says, you know, when you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward, and that, you know, if you believe in the Lord, you'll be established. If you believe his prophets, you'll prosper. So next time I admonish you, you know, when you're sowing that seed, you know, in your PayPal notes or however you sow it, to begin to start naming what it is that you believe in God for. And as you sow in faith and expectation and hope, you will begin to start receiving what it is that you're hoping for, what you're expecting for. Amen? First Corinthians 13:7, and this is talking about love. You know, this is the love chapter. And it says, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So love hopes all things. So a lot of times when we find our hope is waning, it's probably because our love walk is waning. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. This is one of my life scriptures. You know, everybody, you should have a life scripture, a mantra, you know, so to speak, a scripture that you stand on. And this is my scripture. My scripture is, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So we have faith, expectation, and love. You know, now abideth faith, expectation, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So we know that love is the most significant, but there's no way that we can have faith, there's no way that we can have hope unless we have love. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word the truth of the gospel. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So the Lord is saying that we even have hope that's laid up in heaven for us. Wow, we've got hope laid up in heaven. I believe we could pray and ask God to bring some of that hope to us, because the scripture said he's already got hope laid up for us in heaven. So maybe we could pray and we could ask God to bring some of that hope here to earth. Amen. Now scripture says it this way. It says, whatsoever things you bind here on earth abound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose here on earth are loose in heaven. So why could we not pray that the hope that is laid up for us in heaven could manifest itself here on the earth realm for us? Amen. Could y'all believe that with me? Could y'all believe that with me? If you can, I want you to pray this with me, okay? Just pray this with me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you, according to your word, that you said that there is a hope which is laid up for me in heaven. And so, Lord, I ask that the hope, the anointing of hope that is laid up for me in heaven, will be imparted to me here in the earth. Lord, impart into my soul a manifestation of hope. Hope, come into my heart. Hope, manifest in my soul now. Hope that's been laid up in heaven, I speak and decree that you manifest yourself in my heart. Hope, come now in my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know. Did you feel that? I felt that. I feel like God just imparted us with a spirit of hope. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your hope. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of hope. We thank you, Lord, that you have manifested and imparted into us an anointing of hope, Lord, that we're getting excited, Lord. We're going to get excited about you. Lord, we're going to get excited about the things of God. We're going to get excited, Lord, and we have this excitement because we know that you're working out a good plan for our life. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We receive your hope. We receive your hope, Lord. We receive your hope, Lord. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's listening right now. Father, I just send forth your angels of hope to go forth into their lives right now. I send forth the ministries of hope, Lord, the angels of hope to just go into the lives of the people that are listening here today. And I ask that you just impart into their hearts an anointing of hope, Lord. I just ask for manifestations of hope to just touch, Lord. Touch the people right now. I thank you, Lord. A spirit of excitement is going to rest upon the people because they're going to get excited about your word. And they're going to get excited about prophecy. And they're going to get excited about spiritual things. And they're going to know, Lord, that there's an expectation of an excitement, Lord, because you've got a good plan and you've got a good purpose for their life. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. All righty, well, we're going to open up the phone lines for a few minutes and I'll speak to a few people. All right, caller, your last four digits are 0626. You're live on the air, Prophet Kyle. Going twice. All righty. I'll be opening up the phone lines. The guest call-in number is 347-996-3442. 347-996-3442. I'll be opening up the phone lines now, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can ask those. All right, caller, your last four digits are 0626. You're live on the air with Prophet Kyle.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Prophet Kyle. This is Tavares.
Hey, Tavares. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. I was calling.
How was your birthday?
It was blessed. I had
okay,
a wonderful
good.
Birthday. I can't complain.
Okay.
However, I have my wife here.
Mm-hmm.
Can could you speak to her?
Sure. I'd love to.
Well, I guess she didn't want to receive a word, but anyway,
okay.
I guess
okay.
I can't force it, but
sure.
I just wanted to receive a prayer today and
sure.
you know, bless me in my travels of ministry and continue the word.
Sure. Where are you traveling? So you headed somewhere tomorrow?
Well, no, in my daily life. You know, God
oh, I got you. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Tavares, and we thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your word. Your word is true, and it does not lie. Father, you've spoken several prophecies concerning the plans, the purposes that you have for Tavares, and so we thank you, Lord, that not one single promise that you've spoken over Tavares' life will be thwarted, but that it will come to pass in its divine time and its divine season. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this is a time of growth. This is a time of newness. This is a time of joy. This is a time of hope and expectation, Lord. And as your word says, hope springs eternal. I thank you, Lord Jesus, you're just abiding in him and you're bringing more hope. And I thank you, Lord, for his family and his wife, Lord. I just ask you just continually bless his wife and increase her and promote her and move her to new levels, and I just thank you for that in Jesus' name, amen. And I know, you know, that your wife may be listening. I just, you know, want to share with you, God is sharing with her that there is a promotion that's about to take place on her job. So be encouraged and know that the work that she's putting in is not being ignored, but that it's going to bear forth good fruit, says God.
Amen. And I also want to tell
Amen.
You, I enjoyed your show tonight. It's very
Thank
powerful
you.
Point. And
you
can sing it a good job as well.
Oh, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen.
God bless you, my brother.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. Caller, you're live and on the air, 8122.
Yes. Hello?
Hey, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Prophet Kyle?
I'm doing well. Who's speaking?
My name is LaWanda.
Hey, LaWanda.
Hi, and I wanted to say thank you because I missed last week, but I heard it the next day, and I was just so blessed by the message of hope because I kind of grew up, you know, being told that not to get your hopes up. And I,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of how I live my life, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't have goals or anything like that. I just kind of went with the flow because
mm-hmm.
no one taught that to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and I just,
yeah,
it was just such a blessing.
And you know, as I'm doing the study, thank you, LaWanda, what I'm seeing is that hope is, that's really the tool how we manifest the promises that we're praying for. So we pray and we say, okay, God, do this, but then we don't even expect it to happen. And so consequently, you know, what we're asking for or even the prophetic word that we may receive, we don't see a manifestation of it because we're not expecting it to actually happen. You know?
That's true. You know, and then the moment that you have a disappointment, you say, well, I should have known. You know, it wasn't going to happen anyway. You know, that because it wasn't really in you to hope and anticipate. You would just, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But that message spoke to me so much. I listen to it every single day.
Oh, praise God.
And it has really, really blessed me. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for that. Because
thank you so much for sharing it. Thank you.
Yeah, even at my age now, hey, I still have a life, and I can still dream, I can still have hopes, you know, and it's not the end for me.
Yes.
It's a new beginning, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Amen, amen. And, you know, LaWanda, the Lord says, yes, woman, God, it is a new beginning. God says, I closed one door to open many. And God says at that door that you were like, Lord, why did this happen? It was just something that the enemy really tried to use to shut you down. But God says, I closed that door so that I could open many. God says sometimes to move forward, things have to come to an end. You know, even as my word has said, you know, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear forth fruit. And so the Lord says, that's what I'm doing in you. I'm birthing new fruit. I'm birthing new desires. I'm birthing new dreams. I'm opening up your heart and your mind to receive more of me. And God says, you know, even in your sharing, sometimes be selective on who you share things with, because some people, you know, are in old mindsets and old ways of thinking, and they think that I can only move this way or move that way. But God says, I'm much bigger than that, and you recognize that. And the Lord says, don't allow people to kill the dreams that I've put in you, because God says, I've got big things in store for you. And even as my word says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you. And thank you so much for sharing your testimony.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye. And the teaching that LaWanda is referring to is the first part of this series that ran last week. If you'd like to listen to it, you can actually go to blogtalkradio.com/Prophet Kyle T. Miller, and there you'll find all of the archives of my shows, and you can go back and listen to it. But that one was dated from last week, High Hopes. This is part two. That was part one, but I don't think it's listed as part one. I think you're just going to see how host, but you can go back and listen to the broadcast where I gave a little foundation on the teaching. All righty. Next caller, your last four digits are 0002. You're live and on the air. Beautiful Ashes. Hello. I hear you. I hear you. Hello? I hate to cut you off. Okay. All righty. Some people do merely want to listen to the show. They had no desire to receive a prophetic word or you know, anything of that nature. They just really want to listen to the show. And so the thing about it is, when they call in, I can't determine, you know, who's on for what reason. So I basically just go through the series, you know, the phone lines, and just pick up. Also, I don't see people's names, and so as a respect not to, you know, call your whole phone number out online, you know, I'll just refer to the last four digits of your phone. So if I happen to open up and you know, you just basically want to listen to the radio, then you can just speak to me and just say, hey, you know, Brother Kyle, I'm just listening, you know, and I appreciate the show. Because otherwise, I really don't have any way to be able to determine who's listening, who's trying, you know, wanting to receive something from the Lord, and who's just listening to the show. You can also always listen to the show on your computer, your mobile device, or, you know, your pad, you know, your tablet or your phone, you know, by just clicking on the link. And I usually send that out with the invitation on the newsletter. So if you're not receiving my newsletter, you can go to my website, prophetkyle.com, and then you'll see a tab that says prophetic request for prophetic articles. You can go there and then subscribe to the, you know, subscribe so that you can get my newsletters. I have a new newsletter that actually be coming out in the next day or so, and it'll be dealing with hope. I'll be doing a whole article dealing with hope, and you can, you know, you can receive that to your inbox. Also, too, if you go to Blog Talk Radio and you go to Blog Talk Radio / Prophet Kyle Tamila, you can actually follow me, and then that way, anytime I'm doing a radio show, you'll get a reminder that's sent to your email, you know, letting you know that my show is getting ready to come on. That way, if you want to, you know, if you want to follow and listen, you can do that. Okay. My next caller, you are 2259. You're live and on the air.
Yes. So I'm looking for a word from God, but I just want to say that I really enjoyed your show today. I really, every time I tune into your show, it's just like it's some things that I have on my mind. It seems like you speak on. So I really, really, you know, appreciate that. But you know, I am, you know, calling in for a word. So.
Praise God. What's your first name?
It's Melissa.
What's your first? Melissa. Okay. Father, I thank
Melissa.
You, Lord, for Melissa.
Yes.
Alyssa?
Melissa.
Alyssa?
With the M.
Melissa. Yeah. Like Melissa,
yes.
Gilbert? Okay.
Yes.
Father, okay. Okay. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Melissa and what you're doing to Melissa. Melissa, the Lord wants you to know that this is a time of great faith. God says, I'm really stretching you. I'm stretching your ability to believe. I'm stretching your ability to stand. I'm even stretching your ability to receive. God says, you've seen my hand move in this way and in that way, but God says, I'm really wanting to do a whole lot more in your life. And God says, yes, it will be the expectation that you have that will enable me to move. Because as my word says, you know, so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So God says, to the degree that you expect it to happen, that's the way it's going to happen. I see something.
Wow.
about transition. God is transitioning you out of a place into another place. I see even your I even see like a relocation beginning to take place. So God says, go ahead and move forward on that, and then I don't know.
Let me just ask
you,
you mean relocation like another state?
There is some type of geographic move. Now, I'm not sure if it's out of state
or
not.
Yep, I know.
Okay. So yeah, God is saying it's okay for you to move forward on that. And then I even see something about transportation, like God upgrading that as well. I don't know if you been believing him for
a
better
vehicle.
Transportation, a vehicle, yeah. So, I feel the anointing now. Yeah, so go ahead and move in that. God said it's going to be favorable for you to go ahead and purchase it. So go ahead and do that. Okay. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Melissa, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. But really, the thing is, you know, the takeaway is that God is really stretching you and showing you that he's a God that will supply all your needs. You know, he's demonstrating to you. He's demonstrating to you that he's wanting to do it. He's wanting to do those things, but he's actually wanting to do even bigger things. So,
and you know,
to the degree that
that's
you can expect
that
it.
Has,
yeah. Go ahead.
Right.
I'm sorry.
That's why what you're saying and the word that God had gave you, that, I mean, that's why I could relate to this show today. I'm just like, wow, it's like speaking to me. I could just like feel it in my heart. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I can relate to that totally, you know? So So, yeah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yep, that's it.
Well, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and thank you so much for being a part of the ministry.
Okay, thank you so much. God bless.
Yes, ma'am. God bless. Have a great day.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay. All righty. Caller, your last four are 0233.
Yes, good afternoon, Prophet Cal.
Hey, good afternoon.
This is Sheila. I'm doing okay, thank you.
Good, good. Glad to know you're doing well. What's on your heart today?
Yeah. I want prayer and see what God has to say in my life, speak in my life.
Okay. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Sheila. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Sheila, God says that the word is true, and God says I'm going to use you to demonstrate my word to others. The Lord says that I'm wanting you to be my representation. God says, you know, this past season you've been kind of like in a rough place, and you've been like, okay, well, Lord, where is all this going? I see this happening, I see that happening, I see this. But God says really much of that has been foundational. God says I've been building a foundation, and God says that now that this foundation is solid, that it's steady, God says I'm going to push you out into the forefront, and God says that I'm going to begin to have you start networking with people of like precious faith. But God says I'm also going to use you as a representation of who I am, you know, whereby which people will look and they'll see a real believer, and they'll know that I'm a God that I bless my children. As I was praying for you, I did see some snakes. That's usually symbolized some type of deception. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Sheila. We bind and break every spirit of deception. We thank you, Lord, that she will not be deceived, nor will she be caught up in the snare of the enemy, Father. But you said in your word that you are the truth, you are the life, and you are the way. So we thank you, Lord, for that she abides in divine truth. But, you know, not to be fearful about that, but the Lord said just, you know, be on guard, because you know the enemy is crafty, and he'll try to get you into some areas where it looks like it's one thing, but it's actually something else. So the Lord says, when you find yourself in situations where you're not sure, just always acknowledge him. You know, as the scripture says, acknowledge the Lord in all our ways; he'll direct your path. You know, just acknowledge him. And just say, okay, Lord, this is what I think I want to do, and I think this is what you want me to do. If it's not what you want me to do, and you just go ahead and take care of it, and you know, don't let it prosper. And then God says that way, as you just continue to acknowledge him, you know, because that's all he's asking you to do is just to acknowledge. Even if it's something you don't necessarily have a clear word that you know God wants you to do it or not, just say, okay, God, well, this is something I want to do, and if you, you know, if it's something you don't think I should do, then go ahead and shut it down. And, you know, just giving him that first acknowledgement will keep you, you know, out of the snare, you know, that you just acknowledge him. Because that's all he's asking for. You know, there's many things that God will allow you to do, you know, because it's just stuff that you want to do. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, he gives us opportunity to make choices. You know, he's just asking that you acknowledge him before in those major decisions. You acknowledge him first, because it's his job to stop you. It's his job to let you know if it's not what you want to do. But he wants you to just make the. He just wants you to acknowledge. Amen. So that's the word of the Lord. I hope that made sense to you.
Yeah, and on the 27th of June, I go to court. And
okay.
This is in to, I don't know if you remember, I told you a good while back, a few years back, how my things that my oldest brother did. And so now he's taking me to court trying to sue me.
Oh, okay. So we just lift up that case to you. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord, it's going to be dissolved. You just dissolve it. You know, it won't even go to trial. She won't spend up a whole lot of money and legal fees and foolishness. Lord, we just commanded to come to naught right now. Father, we know that you are the divine judge, and we just ask, Lord, that you just demonstrate and execute justice in this situation, mm-hmm. that you put down your hammer of justice and mm-hmm. cause this case to be dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Prophet Gab.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Keep me posted.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. I want to thank you all for listening. I'll be back on next week. Probably will be returning back to my regular time of 9 p.m. Central Time. I want to thank you all so much for listening. Again, I could not do it without you. If you've been blessed by the ministry, please prayerfully consider being a blessing to the ministry by sowing a seed. You can go to my website at prophetkyle.com. Yes, I do have the suggested donations for prophetic words and prophetic counseling, but I actually have a donation tab. And on the donation tab, you can leave a love offering, you know, or your tithe if you have not found a church home. And I'll be your spiritual covering until you can find a church home. And so you can just be, you know, prayerfully be led to sow, you know, whatever you're led to give. So, you know, but we appreciate all gifts, and all gifts are watered with prayer, as we believe in the expectation that you're going to receive a harvest on the seed that you sow. I love you guys so much, and thank you so much for listening. Tell your friends to listen to the show, and I look forward to spending time with you again next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.